This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company ahead of the week's golfing action. We have the Hero Indian Open on the European Tour and we have the Valspar Championship on the PGA Tour. It is good to be back in the presenter's seat. Dave Kellner here alongside Dave Tindall to look ahead to the week's action. Mr. Tindall, how are you, sir?
Very well, thanks, Dave. Welcome back. You've got kind of one of these schedules. Are you sort of trying to peak for the Masters? You don't want to have too many podcasts beforehand.
That might be the first time I pick a winner this season, perhaps, the Masters. Something like that. I do miss it when I'm away from you in this studio, Dave.
And
I managed to watch quite a bit of the golf last week, actually.
Well, the Mexican one was brilliant, wasn't it? Last round, wow, what a finish.
Unbelievable tournament, and made even more exciting by Phil Mickelson winning his first tournament since the Open Championship back in 2012. That final round is superb, and I heard there was a lot of chatter on Twitter, about the quality, in inverted commas, of the golf course, but I don't care. I'm not bothered about the quality of the course if it produces drama like that.
Well, and they often say, don't they, that you see it in the results. I mean, look at the playoff. You've got Mickelson, a five-time major winner, against Justin Thomas, one of the best players in the world. So I know maybe after 54 holes you're thinking this is a bit odd, but I think in the end the top guys came to the top. I thought it was an interesting course.
Yeah, I enjoyed it immensely. Yeah. I've enjoyed both tournaments there, actually, with Dustin Johnson winning the previous season. Tommy Fleetwood finished with that 40-footer across the green, didn't he, there? And Dustin Johnson in that final round was superb as well. So
he was world number one at the time. It's not producing so odd, strange winners, is it?
No, and Big Phil winning again.
Yeah, great to see. Long overdue, five-year gap. And if you're one of those who maybe took an anti-post punt on him for the Masters, well, he's probably halved, would you say? Generally halved in price. I think we had him, I think I mentioned him on here at 33s a few weeks back, and what is he now? 16, so yeah.
You're sitting on a nice ticket, aren't you?
Yes, I think so.
If you
so.
Didn't back him last week, though, you'd be slightly irked and annoyed that you've missed a 25-1. He was on about 25-1 last week, wasn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, he's been advertising his chances for a number of weeks,
yes,
hasn't he? That was his fourth straight top 10. So this is proper. It wasn't out of the blue, is it? Mickelson's been building. I think he knew himself that he wanted to win, and he said that he was going to win, and he said he wanted to win before the Masters because he thought that maybe that's a bit too much to suddenly end a five-year drought at Augusta. So now he's got one under his belt. Watch out.
There aren't many players that play a shot from in a bush and still and win the tournament either.
Yeah.
It was a wacky, wild Sunday afternoon in Mexico, but we got the right winner, and it was very entertaining.
Yeah, superb stuff.
On the other tour, George Kutsaya won his second Tshwane title. Got a good record on home soil, the South African, and his birdie blitz on the back nine sealed the deal. What an exceptional putting week George Kutsaya had. He can really roll the ball well.
Yeah, we talked about him when I did the podcast last week with Mark. We sort of said he might have even been don't want to win material. I can't remember what I said, but I did say he's a good favourite, and if you're going to have a bet, there's nothing to put you off him at all, because when he wins, it tends to be on home South African soil, doesn't it? And he played well in Qatar, so no surprise to see Kutsi winning on what was his local course.
Let's get stuck into this week then. We'll start with the Hero Indian Open, because we've got to. Anirban Lahiri is the 11-1 joint favourite with Shuvnakar Sharma. Emiliano Grillo is 16-1. Yus Loughton is 18-1. SSP Chaurasia 20-1. Chris Wood is 22s. Pablo Larrazabal 25-1, along with Scott Jamieson. It's 28-1. Yung-Yun Wang, and it's a bigger price as the remainder for this Hero Indian Open. The event was pretty farcical last year. We had no idea of the distance of the course in the lead up to the tournament. The DLF Golf and Country Club provided us with entertainment, in inverted commas, He played very differently to the previous host of the tournament, the Indian Open. That was the Delhi Golf Club. But we still had the same winner.
Yeah, bizarrely, because everyone had ruled him out because it was meant to be 7,600 odd yards, and he's obviously a short hitter, no chance, and then he wins by seven. And then we're told before the final round that it was only 7,000 yards, actually. Oh, really? Oh, well, thanks for that. Yeah, I watched some of
we're
it.
We're talking about SSP Chaurasia, by the way, who's won it in back-to-back years. Yes. I don't think I mentioned his name.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I mean, incredible, really, that he's fifth favourite. He deserves to be on his form. But yeah, that he'd won
what
his.
What price did he go off last year?
I think he was 100s.
Yeah.
Yeah, because.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, for someone, a defending champion. But he'd won it on courses that were sort of typically Indian, short, required, you know, just a manufactured short game. This was meant to be more European. Even Anirban Lahiri said he doesn't expect to see Indian players on the leaderboard. At this course, DLF, the Gary Player designed golf and country club there.
Yeah.
I mean, and Eddie Pepperell, who actually started well last year, he on Twitter said it was designed by Satan. I don't think that was a dig at Gary Player, sort of. He does like a quote, doesn't he, old Eddie? But I think he was sort of summing up the feeling that it was just a bizarre golf course, and you got these funny bounces. I remember watching some of it and seeing quite a few clubs being helicoptered into water.
Yeah.
Just because it seems so unfair at times.
I think that, just to pick up on what you mentioned about Eddie Pepperell, I think he was quoted as saying that every shot is one that's fraught with danger.
Absolutely, yeah.
You can't relax at all on this golf course. Yeah. I'm surprised there's so many players that played last year that have decided to come back and play again this year.
Well, it's sort of a tip in itself, is it not? Do you think that if they've come back, they can't be too, because it's not like it's just sort of round the corner. You've got to get on a plane and fly to India.
Yeah.
If you absolutely hated the course.
Maybe they're all masochists. Who knows?
I don't know. That's obviously, maybe they want to see the Taj Mahal. Just a lovely trip of India, a lovely country. But yeah, I think anyone who played it last year and did well, that's sort of a tip in itself, maybe.
It's going to be hot as well, isn't it, throughout the 4 days,
yeah,
which
mid-90s.
Might add to the stress that some players will feel this tournament week. I find it a tough punting puzzle, shall we say, this one.
Yeah,
I think everyone does, don't
In terms
they?
Of yardage, I read some pre-tournament previews, and they were saying 7,400-odd yards. I contacted Richard Kaufman, actually, the commentator who does a lot of the Asian Tour stuff, and he was the one who actually pointed out last year that it wasn't, he'd seen the scorecard, it wasn't 7,600. He seemed to think 7,400 was going to be about right, because there was, I think, 7,000 was too short, so he reckoned the European Tour maybe thought it was going to be a bit longer this time. But.
And that's a position where Twitter is, or that's the sort of time where Twitter is invaluable.
Yeah.
But I remember Richard Kaufman, I'm sure he tweeted the scorecard.
Yeah.
And then there were still people saying, yeah, but you're wrong, because I've seen it on the internet.
Yeah.
That and he was out there in India with a scorecard
in his hand. At that course.
And there were still people saying, yeah, well, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Which I find utterly bizarre.
I mean, there's kind of no one is quite right and wrong talking now, because on any given day, they can stretch that course to whatever they want. There's so many back tees. Mm. So even though you might be right now, they might decide to play it at 7,000 on the final day, or stretch it out on another day, move some tees forward. So it really is a bit of... You kind of think of some of the controversial US Open tracks like Chambers Bay, where everyone was thinking, what's going on here?
Do you think we've talked enough about the length of the golf course?
Let's just get on with some tips. I mean, have you got any tips?
Yeah, I've got two, actually.
Madman?
Yeah.
I've got one, so I'm sort of part mad.
Shall I lead off?
You
then?
Go first, yeah.
I'm going with Andrew Johnston as my...
Well, that was very close to putting him up, yeah.
Yeah, I like him at 35-1. I think he stood out to those at the head of the betting. This is a course that is going to test players mentally as well as physically. We've talked about that. And being in solid form will probably be beneficial as well. And Beef has been playing very well recently. Finished tied 9th in Abu Dhabi and was last seen finishing in a tie for 12th in Oman. And what I like most about Andrew Johnston this week is that his win came at Valderrama. And that's a course that plays very tough, and one on which I think danger lurks on every shot at Valderrama. You've got to be in control of your mental faculties at Valderrama. And I actually think that not having seen this course might be a positive. But we'll see. There are a few that will have battle scars ahead of this test this week, and I thought 35-1 in this field was pretty fair.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few. There's like, if Eddie Pepperell, he's good mates with Andrew Johnson, surely some of the reports would have got back to players. So the fact that he's gone there anyway suggests he's sort of up for it. And I agree that he will be able to shake off some of the strangeness more than anyone else. He'll just see it as, you know, it's an opportunity rather than a sort of disaster. He'll remember, I'm a golfer, I'm getting paid lots of money, I could win lots of money, what am I fussing about?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
That will be his outlook this week. So he's my first selection. Who's your only pick?
I'm going to go for Wade Ormsby.
Okay.
I don't know what you think. 40-1. Yeah. I think you think the same. I think accuracy isn't going to be important this week, because if there are quirky greens that go all over the place, what you need to be doing is hitting from the fairway. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the best chance of controlling those shots in. Now, Wade Ormsby, one of the most accurate drivers we have on the European Tour, he won in Hong Kong, where you've got to hit the ball straight. He was, third for driving accuracy that week. So was playing from the fairway all the time. Who knows how similar this course is to Hong Kong, but it's got some similar traits or similar skill sets that you need to display. So he's got that in his favour. He's going to hit it straight. Now, the theory kind of works out as well, because he played here last year and actually made the top 25. So he's gone away with some decent vibes about the place. Mm-hmm. Shot four. I mean, if you looked at some of the scores last year, it was like you saw like a 70, then an 80 or 77.
It was bizarre.
Yeah. He was fairly solid. It wasn't too much of a range between his scores. So he did fairly well, played his best round on the weekend. So he left there on the Sunday, left there thinking, that's a top 25. He's a previous winner in India, which is good. I mean, if you've been there and can win. The Hong Kong win was only back in November, late November, so that's recent as well. And the other thing, he's just played in Mexico. I know that means a long journey, but it means he's committed to play this course. He could easily have thought, I'll knock this one on the head. But in Mexico, 50th, you think, well, he's not done so well there. But look at it, his round score, 79 in round one. So he's finished the last three rounds, 67, 69, 71. I mean, that wasn't enough to win the tournament or anything, but that last 54 holes, he's got to be hitting it pretty well. If you look at his stats for the week, number one in driving accuracy. So the thing you need to be doing this week, he's doing. So I think at 40-1, I'm willing to put half a point each way.
Okay, half a point each way. Wow.
That much, yeah.
I'm going with... I'm fed up of coming in here when I've written down a price and then suddenly seeing that price has been cut.
Yeah.
And because we promote full transparency on this podcast, don't we, Dave? I've got to take the slightly shorter price, unfortunately. But I think it's still worthwhile looking at Prom Misawat at 50-1. I think he was a standout 66-1, so that price has been chopped, unfortunately. But there's no doubt this is a weak event, and from a betting perspective, I'd have him still a little bit shorter than this, I think, from Misawat. He's in rock-solid form with decent enough finishes on the Asian Tour and the Asian Development Tour recently, and he was ninth in the Perth Super 6, having led the field in scoring over the stroke play stage before they went to match play. In addition to this, he was 13th at this venue last year. So I think Prom Misawat at 50-1 just has those converging trends, and 50-1's fair, I think.
Yeah, well done for not abandoning him, because you can think, well, he's still 50-1 with plenty going for him.
I think 66-1 was really a standout price, and 50-1 is just about fair.
Yeah, and obviously other people are agreeing with you and he's been backed.
Yeah. Okay, so we've come to the end of this journey.
Amazing, we've got three picks, to be honest.
Yeah, the other one I want to mention just very quickly is Renato Paratore, who is 66-1.
Right.
Just because I think he's pretty high class, and comes into this having finished fourth in Qatar, missed the cut badly in this event last year, but he's back. I think he shot 9 over for the 36 holes, but player high on confidence, so Paratore at 66 was one that I'd look at.
I was trying to work out some theory behind Italian players, because last year Manassero was third and Eduardo Molinari 11th, I was thinking, what was it about that course that the Italians... So you've got another Italian, who knows?
Who knows? Let's move on to the Valspar.
There's a good restaurant nearby or something. I don't know.
Let's hit the Valspar Championship, which is definitely the feature event this week on the PGA Tour. And Jordan Spieth is the 8-1 market leader here with William Hill. Rory McIlroy is 12-1. Sergio Garcia, 16-1. Justin Rose is 18s. Henrik Stenson, 20s. Paul Casey, Tiger Woods, Tony Finau, all 25-1. Adam Hadwin is 28-1. He's the defending champion. And it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. To start with Tiger Woods, because he's playing a strong schedule to open up his campaign. And after flashing moments of brilliance at the Honda on his most recent start, he's in there at 25-1 to win on his first start in this tournament. He's got an exceptional record in Florida, but this is not like other courses in this part of the world. It's a very different test, the Copperhead course in Tampa Bay, Florida. More tree-lined than you'd expect a typical Florida course to be.
Yeah, I think so. That's what they say. They sometimes say it's like the Carolinas, isn't it, where you get tree-lined courses like that. But Tiger's playing near home. I think we thought any weaknesses that he had would be found out horribly at the Honda Classic, and yet he finished top 10. So clearly, because maybe there's a feeling at Torrey Pines he can play that with his eyes shut. But at the Honda, that was really, you know, so much water knocking about. That was a really sort of, wow, maybe he is properly back.
It was the first time, I think on the, either on the Saturday or the Sunday, I can't remember now, but there was one round where every single iron was pin high.
Yeah.
It was a masterclass in controlling the ball, and it was the first time in 4 years I thought maybe Tiger Woods can win another major championship.
Yeah. Which is some turnaround, isn't it, to be thinking that so quickly?
Well, people 6 months ago were saying this guy is never, he can barely even walk.
Yeah.
And now he's on the verge of winning again on the PGA Tour, or seemingly on the verge anyway. Do you think this course will suit him then?
It's an interesting one. I don't know where I am with him, really. 25, is that a terrible price? Is it a really good price? I'm not sure.
I think it's about right, isn't it?
Probably then, if that's the case.
I wouldn't be backing him this week, but I wouldn't be... I wouldn't be chuckling to myself if someone told me they had backed him.
Yeah.
And in previous
tournaments... Yeah,
you'd say,
oh God, the Tiger loyalist, and you think, come on.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fair way of putting it. If someone's on him, yeah, you can't really say, well, no, don't.
What do you see to the keys to succeeding around Copperhead?
I think finding fairways is important, but I think the kind of mid to long irons is important. I want a good iron player, good players who hit plenty of greens would be my way of going in, I think. If you read some of the comments from players, they think hitting irons well stands you in good stead.
I've got a couple of picks for the event.
Yes, me too.
Okay, do you want to lead off this time then?
I'll go off. I'm going with Henrik Stenson.
All right, okay. 20-1.
Yeah, that's very fair on Henrik Stenson. Just when you start looking at the others that are shorter than him, Spieth has got kind of all right form figures, but he's quite a way below what we think he should be.
Do you think he's going to benefit from the return to Bermuda greens?
Possibly. I don't know. I just don't trust his putting at the minute. I think it's sort of good, and then you think, well, no, it isn't. And he's just not quite the proper Jordan Spieth that we've come to know at the minute.
Okay.
I guess he could show it at any moment, but I think he can, at 8-1, I'd rather want full, proper, you know, vintage Jordan Spieth to be. I'd rather back him at 7s when he was banging form than 8s when there's holes you can pick in him. Rory's not doing it, is he?
I like the way you say vintage Jordan Spieth when he's like 23 years old. Or
yeah, prime Jordan Spieth, then, if you're going to get picky. Rory, he's not really doing it, is he, at the minute?
No.
12s? No, thanks. Sergio's not bad at 16s, maybe. It's sort of his sort of course.
He played well last week.
Yeah,
but
he did.
The old putting frailties.
Yeah, that's probably the slight doubt I would have.
But those greens are bad. know we talked about not caring what the course was like.
Yeah.
If it provides me with entertainment on a Sunday night, but they were bad greens.
Yeah. But maybe that just gave an excuse. I don't know. But yeah, 16 is it's not bad. He wouldn't be far off. Rose was nowhere last week, and you think he's not quite got going again since the end of last year. So you come to Stenson, and you just look at his course form. 7th, 11th, 4th. Absolutely loves this place. If you read some of his quotes, it's just he says it's his type of course. Has to hit lots of... He can club down off the tee, which obviously that's always... He most famously when he won the Players' Championship, just forget driver, just hits three woods.
Yeah.
Club down off the tee, then he can hit kind of mid-irons in, that's his strength. And the course form is absolutely there. I know you said it's not a Florida course, but it is in Florida. And you look at his Florida kind of body of work, and it's just top fives all the way, isn't it? Top tens.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at 20-1, I think that's a fair price. The doubt would perhaps be... We've not seen him for a while, but as with kind of some horses, you go with the goes well when fresh angle, I think, with him. Came out at the start of the year and was 8th in Abu Dhabi.
I don't think we've ever made it through a podcast without some sort of horse racing comparison.
Here we are. We are at William Hill.
Analogy. Yeah, we are. That's true.
Then he had a 6-week gap between the BMW and the HSBC, comes out in China, finishes 2nd. So I don't think we need to worry that... He's had a gap, to be honest. I think it might even help that he's not flown.
Do we need to worry about that performance in Malaysia, where you'd expect him to be in contention?
If it was last week, maybe, but I think he's probably reset the dial and he's ready to go again.
Yep.
8th in Abu Dhabi, 6th in Dubai, 2nd in the HSBC. So 3 of his last 5 starts, the top 8s. He's got the course form. 20-1. He did win the Wyndham Championship, which I think is another little pointer. Mm. I've just noticed your second pick, who's my second pick. So.
Oh, right, okay.
But one of the things there, with Henrik Stenson, he won the Wyndham Championship, that's in the Carolinas, only back in August. So he's a player who can perform well on those sort of tracks as well.
Very good. Henrik Stenson at 20-1 is Dave's first pick. I'm going with... Cameron Smith at 50-1 as my opening gambit here. I love his fit for this golf course, and I'm hoping that he can step up on his 2 starts in this Valspar Championship. He's finished in the mid-40s, I think, on both those starts.
If you love his fit, though, why isn't he done better? Is there a reason?
Well I think the main reason is he's a much better player than he was before, but you could have said the same thing for Adam Hadwin. There's quite a few players that have succeeded here that have come into the championship without course form. I think it is quite a quirky venue that you maybe need a couple of runs just to get a handle on it.
Yeah.
And Smith is one of those players that's just taken his game definitely to the next level in the last 12 months. He comes into this on the back of a 6th place finish at Riviera. That was a quality performance and shows his game is in tip-top order. Didn't make a bogey in the 2 middle rounds there, which is an incredible feat. And he was very strong from tee to green, ranked 1st in scrambling on the week as well. I just think his all-round game is so strong at the moment. Cameron Smith there, 50-1. I couldn't refuse. So 50-1 Cameron Smith is my first selection.
I did look at him, but when I think of him, I'm thinking, well, where was he 6th? You said he was 6th at Riviera. And then I think we best remember him maybe for, was it Chambers Bay? I think he was top 5.
Yeah.
I've got kind of like West Coast head.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't know, has he done much in Florida? I think he did an awful lot. I don't know whether... we've got 4 starts. He was 30th in the Arnold Palmer with a 76.
Yeah, to be fair, a couple of them have been here, haven't they, as well?
Yeah. But it's not much to go on, is it, 4 starts? I mean, he's made 3 cuts, if you look at it that way.
Yeah, I just think he's...
I just think he's
a very a fast-improving player,
yeah.
Cameron Smith. But we'll see. We'll see this week. Yeah, so he's my first selection.
Well, our second pick...
We've matched on the second one, haven't we?
We've gone for Ryan Moore at 40s.
Go on, you lead the way.
Yeah, it's not rocket science, this one, is it? He's got good course form.
Yeah, he's got good course form, and he's got a very solid profile, I think, for this type of event.
Yeah.
On this type of course.
Again, you started off by saying the Carolinas, and I said Henrik Stenson had won the Wyndham. Well, that was his first win at the Wyndham.
Yeah.
Ryan Moore, I think he likes it because it's not just a crazy putting contest where you have to shoot 20 odd under.
I think he likes it because of the length as well of this golf course. This isn't a golf course where players are going to be able to overpower the players with driver.
Yeah.
And that plays into his hands.
Yeah, he likes the more older fashioned courses.
He's only averaging 280 off the tee, isn't he, Ryan Moore?
Yeah.
So he wants a venue where there's where you can keep the ball in play, basically.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you can, if a player plays an event every year when it's not one of the elite ones, you're thinking they go there for a reason, they think they can do well. Yeah. I mean, he was eighth back in 2007 when it was the Pods Championship, 19th when it was the Transitions Championship. That was, and then last 3 years, 5th, 3rd, 18th.
Yeah.
So all the course form in the world for him there. Honda Classic is a slightly funny one when you look at his result against his stats. 49th, but he was top for driving accuracy and top for greens in reg.
Yeah, that really stood out to me.
Yeah.
I spotted that as well.
That 49th, you've got to class it as a better 49th than you think.
It was a weird week for him because the week prior to that in the Genesis Open at Riviera, he'd putted incredibly well.
Yeah.
He just needs to put those two things together, basically, from his last two performances, and then it's bingo for us, basically.
And I know you can say, well, different greens at Genesis, and you'd rather he'd putted well on, you know, Bermuda, but yeah. I don't think there's anything that suggests he hates Bermuda greens or anything. So, as we've seen in this tournament for the last few years, so yeah, I thought 40-1, it was bigger than what I was thinking. I was thinking I'll collar him a bit,
yeah.
So 40s, you've come to the same conclusion. That's a pretty strong price on Ryan Moore.
40-1 Ryan Moore then, for myself and for Mr. Tindall. Who's the player you don't want to... Let's go through some of the others then. Who else stood out for you before we get you the player you don't want to win this week? Were there any on the shortlist?
I did think...
Is the shortlist a long list?
Yeah, when you're thinking kind of good long iron players, I thought Luke List might... And then I saw him at 33s and thought, no.
It's short, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's that. Gary Woodland, this was the scene of his first win.
I'm still annoyed with Gary Woodland for winning in Phoenix. Yeah.
But 40-1 for him to sort of spring back to a 40-1 price so quick is a little. I thought he might be flavour of the month for a while.
Yeah.
But he's 40-1. That's not bad. I mean,
I quite like Jason Duffner at 66-1.
Yeah. You can sort of back him here every year, but he sort of comes like 12th or worse every year. Between 12th, it doesn't quite get your money, does he? So it's a bit annoying. I've seen a few words for Steve Stricker because he's got good Champions Tour form and played well here in the past.
It was like a throwback week, wasn't it, last week?
Yeah.
Michelle Wee won.
Yeah.
Steve Stricker won on the Champions Tour, and of course Phil Mickelson won.
Yeah. I wonder as well
World Golf Championship.
With Stenson, whether him... seeing Mickelson win might just give him another few percent.
But I was thinking that way about Tiger Woods.
Right.
Imagine seeing Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, you sort of
your foe for so many years.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
they've. It's kind of their relationship appears from the outside looking in to have mellowed over the years, doesn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
But
since Hal Sutton put them together at the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, because there's always been that slight bit of animosity between the two, and Tiger seeing Phil win at 47,
yeah,
that's got to spark something in him, hasn't it?
Yes. What's Tiger, 41, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to think, well, I've got...
He's 41?
41 or 42, yeah. I think 41. I think he must look at it and think, I've got years ahead, now my body's fixed.
Yeah.
What's to stop me doing that?
So that could be another plus point in Tiger Woods' column here.
Yeah, one I was looking at, but wow, have we hammered him here, Bryson DeChambeau.
I think he's been... I know Ben Coley's put him up, hasn't he, on the Sporting Life column.
So he's just been halved in price.
Does he like him as well?
Yeah, he likes him. So that is a big cut, isn't it?
I quite liked 100-1 Dominic Bozzelli as well.
Yeah.
Finished third here last year, and he's putting some nice form together.
Yeah, I thought Jamie Lovemark as well at 100s was decent.
Yeah.
What have we got? Sam Saunders as well. 150s, and that's a decent price on someone from Orlando. Obviously, Arnie's grandson.
Is he?
Just for a second, I thought, Jesus, does he not know that?
I nearly got you.
Yeah.
I nearly got you.
Yeah, 150s, he's playing quite well, and he's got some decent form here. Top 25 in two of his three starts at this course. Yeah. I think he could sneak a place. I'm not saying he'll go on and win or anything, but I think he's playing well enough to maybe nick a place.
You know what? I'm just thinking, I've not got a player I don't want to win this week. I'm more than happy with my two selections in both events.
What if Tiger won? Or would you...
I'd just say...
You'd be happy.
Yeah, I'd be happy.
Yeah,
I'd
just for golf.
Yeah, I'd be happy for golf. 25-20 yeah. Tiger Woods.
I thought you might mention Benny Ahn at 40s.
Yeah, he's been quite well-found, I think, though. He's quite well-fancied this week, isn't he, Benny Ahn? Okay, let's wrap up then, Mr. Tindall.
Yeah.
Give us your selections for the week.
Yeah, so in India, I'm obviously keeping stakes a little bit low because it is a strange old event. A half a point each way on Wade Ormsby at 40s.
I'm going with Andrew Johnston, a point each way at 35s, and Prom Misawat, a point each way at 50s. Yeah. And in the Valspar?
In Valspar in Florida, a point and a half each way on Henrik Stenson at 20s, and I'll go a point each way on Ryan Moore at 40s.
Very good. I'm going Cameron Smith at 50-1 and Ryan Moore at 40s, a point each way on both of those.
So Ryan Moore could be a big week
Ryan
Moore
is going to be a big week for us this week. I can feel it. Thank you, Mr. Tindall.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Do follow us both on Twitter, at Dave Tindall Golf, at D Kellner. And make sure you check out the betting on the William Hill website by going to sports.williamhill.com. Any questions you've got, do tweet us. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast this week, and we'll be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.